Let us pray. Shepherd of love, lead us beside the still waters of your grace. Feed us in the green pastures of your word. Guide us in your path of mercy. Restore our soul with your presence. Speak to us, and we will follow. Amen. The New Testament, a reading from 1 John. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love one another. Whoever refuses to love is still dead. All who hate a brother or sister are murderers, and you know that murderers do not have eternal life abiding in them. We know love by this, that Christ died for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in someone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need, and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love not only in word or speech, but in the truth of our actions. This is how we will know that we belong to the truth, and what will set our hearts at ease before God, even when our conscience bothers us. God is greater than our conscience. God understands and forgives everything. Beloved, if we are not condemned, we are confident before God. We receive from God whatever we ask, because we obey God's commandments and do what pleases God. And this is God's commandment, that trusting in the love of God's own Jesus Christ, we will love one another, just as God has commanded us. All who live by this love live in God, and God lives in them. We know that God lives in us by the Spirit that God gives us. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Listen for the living Word of God as you hear the good news from John's Gospel in the 10th chapter. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. As the good shepherd, one lays down one's life for one's sheep. The hired hand, who's not the shepherd, who doesn't own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf comes and snatches the sheep and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand doesn't actually care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and they know me, just as my Abba God knows me and I know God. I lay down my life for my sheep. I have other sheep too. They are not of this fold. And I must gather them also. And they will listen to my voice. And there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is how you can see God's love for me, that I lay down my life in order to take it up again. Nobody takes it from me. I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down and the power to take it back up again. This is the commandment that God has given me. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The 23rd Psalm and these wonderful words of Jesus about being our good shepherd give us such a brilliant, clear image of how and how deeply God loves us. And there are all these wonderful images in that psalm of ways that God provides for us and protects us and accompanies us and blesses us. That is one side of the 23rd Psalm. But there's a flip side. When people ask Jesus about the greatest commandment, he said, oh, that's easy. Love God with all your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength. And there's a flip side to it. There's another commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. So on the night that Jesus departed from his loved ones, he gave them a new commandment with a flip side. As I have loved you, so you love one another. So this 23rd Psalm, as comforting as it is for each of us individually, has a flip side. And that is, as you have been shepherded, God asks you to be a shepherd of others. It kind of goes against our way of thinking about that psalm because we're so used to taking it in. But Jesus wants us to also take it out to others. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We're so accustomed to pursuing our own wants and our own desires. And God asks us to shepherd other people by paying attention to what they want, what they need. God makes me lie down in green pastures. You know that sheep won't lie down unless they feel completely safe and relaxed. You notice how often Jesus has to go to some effort to create a safe place for people to simply be themselves? People are always getting criticized by others, and Jesus protects them and just lets them be who they are. The paralytic who's let down through the roof, Jesus forgives him, and people start banging on him. And Jesus says, nope, he's set free from that. The woman who reaches out and touches the fringes of his prayer shawl in the crowd, and he says, who touched me? And everybody rolls their eyes and says, Jesus, there's a whole bunch of people who touched you. But he creates a safe place where she can come forward and tell her whole story, really be herself. The little children who come to him and people want to push them away, and Jesus says, no, let's make a safe place for them. Bartimaeus, it goes on and on. Jesus creates a safe green pasture where people can lie down, where they can relax, where they can be themselves, not shoved out or criticized or assaulted. Think of how many people for whom coming to a church doesn't feel safe. They're afraid they're going to be criticized or assaulted or judged because their life is a mess, or they don't dress right, or they're queer, or they're not sure they believe in God, or they believe in a different God than we do, or they don't know what they believe, or they're ugly. We have all sorts of ways of making people not feel like they belong. Jesus invites us to be shepherds who create a safe place where other people can be themselves. God leads me beside still waters and restores my soul. If you've ever been whitewater rafting or canoeing or kayaking, you know that those rapids are the fun part. It's a little chaotic. Sometimes it's even halfway dangerous. You could get dumped. You could get hurt. And it's a lot of effort. And you got to be paying attention every moment to what's coming next. And that's the fun part. And you can't tell me that you don't really like those little stretches of still water in between, where you can bail out and recollect yourself and catch your breath, get ready for the next run. There is nobody that you will ever meet that doesn't need a stretch of still water. Everybody is bearing some kind of burden, some struggle, a wound, some guilt, some sorrow, some kind of difficulty, some challenge. You can't know what it is most of the time, but you can bet that there is some there. Everybody that you meet needs rest and renewal and encouragement and hope. Someone to lead them beside still waters. In the Hebrew, the part that we translate, God restores my soul, literally it's more like God restarts my breathing. It has this implication that you've actually collapsed and stopped breathing. And God breathes the life back into you, just like God breathed life into Adam when Adam was a ball of mud. We all need sometimes for that life to be breathed back into us for some renewal and hope and encouragement. God invites us to be shepherds of others. Lead them beside still waters. Renew the breathing of their soul. God leads me in right paths, in loving paths, for the sake of God's love. You know, growing up in Montana, I saw a lot of sheep herders. In Montana, we didn't call them shepherds, we call them sheep herders. A little distance there. And pretty much the only time you saw them, because most of the time they were off in the upper pastures, was when they were moving the sheep from one pasture to another and they were on the road. And basically what you do is you turn off your car and you wait. Because there's this big, huge flock of sheep, and there's all these little sheepdogs running around along the sides, yapping and yipping and keeping the herd, funneling through this gate over there. And behind them all come these guys on horseback yelling at them. Hey, hop, giddy up, come on, keep on going. That's just how they entertained themselves, I think. They just kind of yelled at the sheep. I thought that's what shepherding was like until I went to Israel in 1983 and I saw an actual biblical shepherd. It's a woman, for one thing. She was wearing an orange dress with a black shawl. I can see her so clearly walking across this green pasture. And the sheep were behind her, following. She wasn't behind them yelling at them. She was out in front just going. And all the sheep followed behind her. Jesus doesn't yell at us and tell us what to do. He goes first. He's willing to be the first penguin in the water. And sure enough, there are sharks. He's the one who goes first, and we follow. God invites us to shepherd one another and to shepherd others by walking in a loving path and knowing that those who are ready to follow will follow. You don't usually notice it, but you are shepherding more often than you think. Whether you're spreading a bad rumor or love, whether you are carving a path of bitterness and maneuvering and getting your own way, or gentleness and listening, people are copying you. People are learning from you. You are shepherding them. Shepherd them in paths of gentleness and listening and love. When you slam the door and walk away, that's a different kind of shepherd. That's a hired hand who doesn't care for what they need, but walks off. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, your word and your presence, they comfort me. Those ancient psalm writers knew perfectly well that God does not protect us from suffering. You will go through those dark valleys, and God will go with you all the way. That's part of what the cross means, that God is always with us, even in the worst of our sin and suffering and loneliness and awfulest of times. You have gone through bad times. All of you have. We all do. And what you remember about those bad times is partly how bad it was and partly the people that were there for you. People that were really there for you. Jesus invites us to be shepherds who are there for others who are going through a hard time. You set a table before me in the presence of my enemies. When I was little, I thought that meant I got an ice cream cone and my brother didn't. It was almost this sort of victory over whoever I was annoyed with. I get special favors. It's not exactly what it means. In biblical culture, hospitality was of supreme importance. And if you had a guest in your home, you were obliged to protect them, even from an enemy who was standing right there. In fact, if somebody was chasing you with a sword and wanted to cut your head off, if you just touched the flap of somebody's tent, they were officially your hosts and they were obligated to protect you, and your pursuer would have brought great shame upon your hosts by hurting their guest. It was a protective thing. It established community. The 23rd Psalm invites us into that kind of protective community. And Jesus, being Jesus, takes it a step farther. He sets a table for us in the presence of our enemies and then invites our enemies. God is asking us, as shepherds, like the 23rd Psalm, to be reconciled with all of those people who annoy us and offend us. Especially if you're right and they're wrong. Especially then. To forgive them and be reconciled and to be willing to eat at the same table. That's the kind of shepherding that Jesus gives us. And says, now do unto others as I have done unto you. You anoint my head with oil. Anointing had many purposes and meanings in biblical times. One of those was healing. If you had a wound, you would anoint it. You would put ointment on it and it would protect it. God is inviting us to be a healing presence for those who are wounded, to pay attention to how people are hurting. That's hard when we're the ones who are mad to stop and wonder why somebody who's making us mad did that. Are they hurting? Maybe that's what it means for the shepherd to lay down your life for the sheep, to be a healing presence for others. Anointing was also an act of joy and celebration. You know, when the coach wins the Super Bowl, you know what's coming next, don't you? The bucket of Gatorade. And when the racer wins the Kentucky Derby or somebody wins the NASCAR race, you get a bottle of champagne or milk or whatever it is. That's exactly what they did in the Old Testament. That's where that comes from. They would pour oil on their heads and work it into their hair. It sounds gross to us, but it was a way for them to say, this is a special day. I'm happy. It's said of the Dalai Lama that when people meet him, they walk away feeling as if he's just met a long-lost friend that he hasn't seen for 40 years. Because he greets everybody that way with such joy. Such happiness to meet each person, even though they're a total stranger. He's so glad to meet them. To anoint one another's heads with oil is to celebrate their presence, to be grateful for their lives. anointing was also how they selected someone for an important, powerful job. They didn't crown their kings. They anointed them. Prophets were anointed. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor. God has sent me, anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Imagine that we are called to shepherd one another, to notice their spiritual gifts, to notice what they have to offer, and to lift that up and to celebrate that and to name that, to anoint them, to call them to God's good work when maybe they feel like they don't have anything to offer. They need someone to anoint their head with oil. My cup overflows. The miraculous thing about this way of loving our neighbor is that even though it seems like a challenge, it's actually not hard work, because we don't do it. God does. It's God's love for us that overflows from us to them. We just let it overflow. When we love our neighbors as we have been loved, to shepherd people, to care for their wants, to create a safe place where they can be themselves, to give them rest and renewal and encouragement and hope when they're going through challenges, to show them a life of love by living a life of love and forgiveness, to be present for them, to be there for them when they're going through hard times, to be reconciled to them when you have differences, to be a healing presence, to celebrate their lives and name their gifts. When we shepherd one another in that way, our cup overflows without our effort at all. And then surely goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our lives. And we live in the house of the Lord, in the intimate presence of God, forever. This is how we know that we've been raised to eternal life, that we love one another. Will you pray with me? God of grace, we thank you for your infinite love in Christ, and pray that we too may be shepherds in the spirit of your love. God of love, we thank you. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.